Welcome to your doom.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
Összul Gabir úr. Jelentsérék a csárdában vannak.
Kicsodák?
Jelentsérék.
És ti hová mentek? Átak a kurva anyát!
Hello, fellow Beastians, this is the Gaming Beast, and it has been a while since I have spoken in recorded form, but I'm back. Yes, I am back. I will do an update video, but for now, this is my second step in returning to the internet and to the, recorded fashion of the internet. Anyway, whatever. I'm back. I've been gone a while. I had my laptop fizzled up. It didn't work anymore. It literally fucked up. And yeah, I have a new PC. And I got no excuse not to record a Beastcast. This is probably number 38, I believe. But it doesn't really matter. The point is that I'm here to talk about nerdy shit. Now, I've been drinking a little bit, and by a little bit, I mean, I'm there, you know what I mean. Point is that I got some stuff to talk about, and I will talk about it right away. So, as I said, I haven't been here for a while, but there's a lot of topics that have been going on. First off, today I watched Star Trek Into Darkness. Let me say this, there's been things about it that I liked, there's been things about it that I didn't like. Let me go into more detail what I liked and what I didn't like. Now what I did like is, obviously, the special effects in the movie were great, of course, as is expected by a big budget a sci-fi movie by Paramount. They have made many Star Trek movies before, and this didn't disappoint in the quality of special effects. Now then, well, this definitely is, though, a J.J. Abrams production, because we get lens flare everywhere again. Just like the first Star Trek movie, just like all the other J.J. Abrams productions. And it is annoying. This is one of my first complaints, is the lens flare, and also, at least in the movie theaters and the cinema that I was, that it was way too loud, you know. They could have taken down the volume. Also, a lot of times the movie relied on people are engaging in dialogue, and just before there would have been a more uncomfortable revelation, suddenly something happens, like a big, you hear literally a big explosion of some sort, a big noise, and then you have a big action scene and a big action set starting. I didn't like that. I didn't like that at all. Let me say that because, not because I dislike action and that sort, but Star Trek, in my opinion, always had its own flair, its own style, which it differentiated from sci-fi franchises, like, for example, Star Wars, you know. And for the longest time, it was very easy to differentiate Star Wars from Star Trek. I right away knew, you know, that when you've seen Star Wars and you've seen Star Trek, you knew the difference. And there's little things like that. It's like that, Star Trek wasn't all about conflict. Star Trek was about exploration and about the human experience. You know, it's a moral story often, you know. Star Wars was about a war literally in the stars and the conflict ensuing about that, and of course the Skywalker clan history in a sense. Star Trek was always about exploring the universe and learning more about the human experience and about learning more about selves. Look, I'm not gonna lie. I always liked also when they went into action, into phaser action. But this is one of the things that I disliked, okay? And it, you might be calling me nitpicky, but when they were actually using their phasers, it was more like a Star Wars blaster than a phaser. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm going to try to explain it. It was like, you know, short bursts of lasers, where it's like it's not a continuous beam but a short burst. It didn't make sense to me because Star Trek always tried to rely more on scientific evidence. Like, they were trying to base their future on science more, you know. Like, even the warp technology is based on a theory, the Occam-Bare force bubble, which would allow faster than light travel without breaking Einstein's relativity theory. Okay, fair enough, it's a theory that has been untested, which might as well, you know, be completely wrong, because it couldn't be tested as of yet, and probably might not never be, but still, it's based on a theory of some sort, you know, and a lot of things in Star Trek are based on scientific theories, where in Star Trek, people have been calling it science fantasy, not just because of the force, basically, which is more or less magic, but also because their willingness to go to break the laws of science more willingly. With Star Trek, they've been always trying to do a little bit more scientific accuracy, although, yes, they have been breaking it too with, like, how easily they've been doing, like, teleportation with the beaming technology. Oh my god, that's another topic that I will count on. But one of the things, as I said, is the lasers. Okay? In old school science fiction, when I'm talking about science fiction, I mean space opera. Because when you talk about science fiction, there's all kinds of subgenres. When I'm talking right now, I'm talking about space opera. Even in space opera, there's various subgenres, okay? But Star Trek has been always very classical, in a sense, borrowing a lot of the Lensman novels of the previous decade, which I'm talking about like I am the ultimate master of these things, even though I haven't read even one with Lensman story. At least I know that they have borrowed from these novels, just like Flash Gordon has borrowed from these, and so on. But I'm not going to get into that. The point is the laser blasts. And I know it's a little thing for some people that, oh, whatever, potato, patata. But the laser blasts looked more like Star Wars laser blasts, where they were short kind of bursts of lasers than a continuous phaser beam. Okay? And it has always bothered me in the new Star Trek, in what they have done now. Because apparently, yes, Spock has traveled back into time before Kirk became captain of the Enterprise and created a new alternate universe, okay? But already we have problems with that now, because I will come to that in a moment. But why suddenly has phaser technology changed and now they have transwarp that early, okay? That early when reaching, warp 8 or 9 was like an insane achievement, you know. Yes, in the old series they gotten beyond that, but only when they did the whole time travel swing around the sun trick, or they were like influenced by some other aliens. Okay, usually they didn't go beyond, you know, warp 8 or shit, you know. Like, going to warp 9 just became a normal thing ever since Next Generation. And then, you know, the problem was they gave themselves this limit with the warp 10. You know, going beyond warp 10 was like it was impossible. You were everywhere and shit. You know, and then they changed that shit. But point is, that with the new Star Trek, there's just a ton of problems. Okay, there's a ton of problems that I disliked. Okay? And it's not... Yes, I'm talking about the laser effects here, and you think it's a small thing, but that's one of the things that did define Star Trek, because it was, as I said, continual laser blasts, okay, that were more, in a sense, realistic, because if you would have actual laser weapons, technically you wouldn't even see the blasts if you want to go super realistic, but if you would see them, they would be continual blasts of light. Okay, so, and that was always the thing about, if you watched any amount of Star Trek series or movies, you know that's the truth, you know? And J.J. Abrams, being the innovator and the absolute god of Star Trek right now, can do anything he wants. And now it's just short blasts, like Star Wars. He's basically making Star Trek into Star Wars, which I do not agree with. Okay, now they have the first time they have met the Klingons, and I have an issue with that. Okay, I have a fucking issue with that shit, because the fucking Klingons are awesome. I have loved the Klingons. Yes, I've grown up with Next Generation, but I've recently finished the original series where they don't have the bumpy heads yet, you know. But it has been explained in Enterprise that they have this sickness, and which basically made them look like humans for a while, and almost completely eradicated the Klingon race, you know, and the Klingon species. And it's the thing is that, you know, they have the bumpy heads in the new Star Trek, which I found cool, but all of them wore these weird masks, which, like, there was the big reveal of a Klingon, because basically they had... I'm going to spoil the shit out of the movie, so right now I'm going to give you a warning. I maybe already spoiled some shit, but I'm going to give you a warning to watch the movie before you listen to this podcast. Okay, right now, stop the podcast if you haven't watched the movie and you don't want me shit to spoil. Okay, TOS-79, if you're listening to this, you know, as you said, you already, you know, you said you don't care about spoilers, so I'm just going to continue. But anybody else who, you know, cares about spoilers, stop it right now. Like, right now. I'm going to give you 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay? It's spoiler territory. It's a minefield, okay? So, basically, you have the Klingon dude. There was Klingons with masks. Basically, you had one guy, the super evil dude who is Lumberbach or whatever his actor's name is. He's, "I am the greatest evil of the evil." And it's like, oh my god, he was so annoying that he was this perfect evil guy. He was like, you know, and I will get to that, to the point, in a second. I will get to that shit, because this is the Gaming Beast cast, okay? The Gaming Beast, the Beast cast is all about fucking the fucking mad Hungarian going on the rage and just saying it how it is, because none of these Hollywood douchebags are ever going to listen to this shit, to this awesome shit, you know, to this shit, okay? That's what I'm going to say. Lumberbach, or whatever his name is, who's the new Sherlock Holmes, who has gained a flock of fangirls, like almost equivalent to the new Doctor Who guys, you know. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if he's gonna be the next Doctor Who, you know, because it's getting to the point where they will switch to next Doctor Who, you know, even though he's running out of lives, you know. He's like got 12 lives or something, but they're gonna do some you know, trope bullshit, where they say, you know, some bullshit where, you know, whatever. Oh, you have an extra life and whatever. You know, it's like a fucking video game where he writes in the cheat code. But point is, it's that dude who plays Sherlock. He's this super special secret agent of the Starfleet Academy and shit. And there's so much bullshit going on, okay? It's this thing where, oh my god, Kirk is still like the rebel without a cause. I mean, he's trying to be James fucking Dean. Even though... Have you ever watched the original series? Kirk was never like that. Oh, the whole movie starts where they're running in this planet, in this red, although I must admit it looked really cool, in this red woods with these aliens, these literally white skinned aliens, and they were like totally, you know, technologically very primitive, you know. And so the whole first the first priority, you know what I'm talking about, the first rule of the Federation, that they cannot intervene with other cultures, you know, the Prime Directive, there we go, the fucking Prime Directive, okay? And fucking Spock is telling Kirk, so the fucking writers have fucking forced the situation where Kirk has to break the Prime Directive to save Spock, okay? Because, you know, Spock had to... There was this planet, there was one volcano that would have wiped out the entire planet, apparently. And I was like, okay, is it a really, really small planet or something? You know, and you see the whole... you see fucking Kirk and McCoy in these cloaks running away from these aliens. And they have this scroll, this holy scroll, apparently, you know. And they're running away because they want to get the aliens away from the volcano. Because, you know, Kirk doesn't want to intervene in the Prime Directive, but he still wants to. Now look. If you watch the original series, you know that they intervene. You know, Kirk dabbles in the Prime Directive. He fucks around with it. But often he will not use his phasers to do anything. And he does it in the same way here. Okay? But they have this whole thing that Spock has to jump down into the fucking volcano with the little gizmo to freeze literally the volcano. But it would have killed him, you know. And Kirk, and they hide the fucking Enterprise in the nearby sea. And oh my fucking lord, it's like, but they cannot beam him out because of the magnetic fields. It's bullshit like that. They pull out their asses just so they can create some kind of tension. And that's what bothers me. They're really forcing constant tension in the movie. You know, it's fucking annoying, really, because I think the actors they chose are actually, for the most part, pretty good. I definitely like Siler, because I forgot his real name. I know he's got a different name, but he's goddamn Siler, because I liked Heroes, and he did a really good job on Siler, and he's Siler, okay? So whatever his name is, it's Siler, who plays Spock. And he does a really good job, and he actually does look like Spock. For the most part, he does a good job, but then he's like, you know, he's with Uhura, apparently, and he has to get in touch with him, his emotions and shit. I'm like, he's a fucking Vulcanian, you know, he's from Vulcan, you know, I mean, it's like, yeah, I know he's half Vulcan, but have you ever seen the series and shit, or the movies, you know, it's really hard for him to even admit that he has feelings, you know, it's, yeah, in the first one it was kind of cool when he got mad when his planet got blown up, but in the other sense it was very forced when I think about it. The whole thing is just really forced. It's just some kind of, you know, douchebag trying to do like, oh, we have to make Star Wars all dark and gritty and we gotta make them all bad boys and like cool for the new generation. I'm like, you know, if anything, then Scott should have gotten together with Nurse Chapel. And I don't even remember if she was in the first one, but she was hinted in the second one that Nurse Chapel was on the Enterprise, but she was then sent away really far away because she got together with Kirk. But if you watch the original series, then Nurse Chapel really had the hots for Spock, and if Spock would have been a human guy or even interested in, I think he was interested in it, he would have been together with her, you know, if he would have seen it as a logical option. But he was focusing on his you know, in the series, as far as I know, he had one time a true interest in a Romulan chick, you know, and which is even a bigger taboo than to be with a human chick, in my opinion. But I don't know, man. I mean, fucking, it just fucks with Trek lore so much that it's like, it was a fun movie in one way, but in the other way, it was just like, fucking, every time they're trying, it's like a beat. It's like so artificial. It's like, oh, we're gonna create a situation where, oh, there's, you know, Kirk loses the control of the Enterprise. He becomes the first officer because he broke the Prime Directive. And Pike is, the captain of the Enterprise. And Spock becomes the, and there's this rift between Spock and Kirk, and Spock becomes a different assignment and shit. It's such bullshit because you know they're gonna be, it's gonna go back to the status quo, and it goes so fast back to the status quo. I mean, they get together when this Lumberbach who's like, I'm gonna destroy you, I'm better than everything, I'm so great, I'm a fucking cardboard villain out of the fucking, you know, it's so ridiculous. It's like, you know, and this guy, I'm gonna say it right now, if you haven't, I haven't been spoiling this, but this guy is Khan. Okay, everybody has been saying that, but oh, he's not Khan, because he's this and this guy, and he's got a different name, but then he just says they gave him this name, but he's actually Khan. Okay, and this guy, okay, Sing Noonien Khan in the original Star Trek was literally Ricardo Montalban, was playing this Indian dude, okay? This bronze-skinned, like this royal-looking, this muscular royal-looking guy who can fucking take you apart. And he's replaced by this, you know, I'm not saying he's not, I guess, intimidating-looking, but a very pale-looking guy in comparison. And why do I say that, you know? It gets really weird here because, you know, if I say, oh, why can't this guy play Khan, you know? It's like, well, because I wouldn't have been bothered, but the whole rebooted universe only goes before Kirk. And Carl Noonien Sung in the Star Wars... In the Star Wars. You see, I'm so used to fucking J.J. Abrams making it into Star Wars, that's why I'm saying Star Wars, but I'm saying Star Trek universe, that Carl Noonien Sung is a they basically whitewashed him, okay? That's what I'm gonna say. They whitewashed him from a fucking, you know, Ricardo Montalban, who was playing an Indian dude, who is a guy of royalty, and a bronze-skinned dude, to a fucking pale-looking dude, you know, and, you know, whatever, he did an okay job, but he always felt it broke continuity to a point where I'm like, what, did the timeline fucking fuck up the past too somehow? Did the time-space continuum fuck up that? No, it shouldn't have. You know, anything, the Enterprise series, that's still in canon after their rules, you know. After the whole, you know, rebooted universe, it's before that, you know. And Carl Noonien Sung is definitely before that because he was in the war of the, in that what happened in their version of the 90s, you know. So I don't know, man. I don't know. He's just like, he doesn't even give any kind of explanation that maybe his genes were like fucked up, but there's like a space-time continuum rift or anything. I don't know. Maybe he had a different mom or dad. They don't give a fuck because they know most of the viewers that are gonna like this are gonna not give a fuck. And apparently they don't give a fuck about the older fans that remember that shit. Because now Ricardo Montalban's, because he played Khan in the TV series and then the movie, because that was one of the biggest thing about the second and the third movie, and even continuing the fourth movie, is that those were the most, you know, the second movie was probably the most popular Star Trek movie ever, because it continued from the series, you know. And I haven't watched the series before, but when I actually seen the series, the episode, and then I've seen the movie, it made much more sense to me, and it was really fun, because they continued that element, but it became much more darker and grittier in that movie, and it made a lot of sense. They had a good build-up. Here is just some dude who's just like, I'm in the trailer already, he's like really ridiculous. I'm really dangerous, you know, I'm a dude. Where the Klingons were just these fucking mooks that I took out with like a couple of laser shots. Like, and that Klingon dude that they had, okay, that bothered me too. Okay, he basically escaped to this province in Kronos that nobody lived in, right? Conveniently. And I'm like, what, there's a province in Kronos that nobody lives in? Okay, fair enough, but so they did find them, they went there to take him out, and apparently RoboCop, who is the admiral of Starfleet, Peter Weller, whatever, the actor who played RoboCop, it's goddamn RoboCop, okay? Peter Weller, I knew it right away, it's goddamn RoboCop, it's Alex Murphy, okay? Maybe I'm an old fuck in these things, but it's fucking Alex Murphy. And I'm not going to take away, you know, he actually did his good job with his, you know, he was the guy, he was the admiral who wanted a war to add to his glory, and he kind of felt like there's going to be a war with the Klingons anyway, so why not artificially create it? And it was kind of like a really thinly veiled critique to the U.S. government, how they like kind of artificially infused wars and shit. And I'm not even gonna touch that anymore. So, okay, guys, whatever. This is not my opinion. I'm just whatever. This is what I think that they were going for. But anything else, I'm not getting into. But the point is, it was goddamn RoboCop who was the admiral. But of course, he was a complete douchebag and a one-dimensional guy because suddenly he was the villain, and because of course Khan convinced Kirk that he's the fault of everything because he hid all of his genetically engineered crew and friends, terrorists, basically, in these advanced photon torpedoes. Yes, this is the story, so fucking go with it, okay? Oh, man, this... I mean, if it wouldn't be Carl Urban does such a good McCoy... He really does. And of course you got Scotty, who's the guy from Shaun of the Dead and whatever. You know what I'm talking about. Point is, we got fucking RoboCop being the admiral who really wants to... Okay, sorry. I've been drifting off. The fucking Klingons, okay? The Klingons are wearing these masks, okay? So they mentioned that, oh, he landed on Kronos, and I'm, holy shit! And I'm thinking, holy shit, we're gonna see fucking Klingons and Batlets and, like, Kapla and their disgusting food that they eat. That's fucking awesome. Because Klingons are, like, the badasses of science fiction, you know? They're like the dwarves in Star Trek, you know? Only they're like fucking 7 feet tall, you know, and like five times as strong as humans, and fucking in they're like undefeatable beasts. I mean, you look at Worf, man. He can fucking take his battle and cut a fucking Borg in two and like say assimilate this. I mean, if you watch Next Generation, Worf was one of your favorites, you know. It was, for me, it was, I don't know, Riker, Worf, and Data, and Picard. Those were my favorite. I couldn't even choose any of those. Because, you know, almost anybody was cool in their own sense. But those were like the fucking badasses, you know. Because Riker, he could hold his own as a human against the fucking... basically a race of fucking warrior. They were like the... kind of like orcs, but with the intelligence of humans, or even more, basically dwarves. They were like dwarves that were really tall, but in space. There were dwarves in space that were tall, which doesn't make any sense, but whatever. Instead of axes, they had battlets. And now we see them in the new universe, and as it comes with fucking Klingons, they have to always change their look a little bit, okay? So they have these weird masks, and this one Klingon takes off his mask, and it's the big reveal. And yes, he has the weird face, the weird head spikes, you know, whatever. And as expected, because I didn't thought that they would go with the human-looking Klingons with this, you know, that they have the sickness. You know, that's a good thing. Honestly, I didn't mind. If you're gonna change the universe, then you can remove that element. But he kind of looked weird. You know, he had the head thing, but he looked still weird. He didn't look like a proper Klingon. I mean, fucking, I grew up with Klingons, and he's like, he didn't look like a fucking Klingon. I mean, how can you ruin one of my favorite alien races, you know? Like, you don't ruin the fucking... Even George Lucas was unable to ruin the fucking Khajiit, the Chewbacca race, you know. I mean, he ruined a lot of things in the three movies. But in the third movie, he realized, oh, nobody wants to see Jar Jar Binks. They want to see Chewbacca instead. You know, and of course, as I said, I don't like the old movies, but at least in the third one we could see Khajiit, you know, the planet of the where Chewbacca comes from, you know. And they're basically, Chewbacca and his people are the fucking Klingons of the Star Wars universe. Well, at least one. They have multiple races that would count for Klingons, you know. And there's other races that are similar to the Klingons, but the Klingons, you know, I grew up with Next Generation. I grew up with Worf, and he had always these cool rituals of passage, and like he was always like, you know, honor and duty bound, and like, I don't give a fuck, I'm gonna go up to Q, who's basically God, and I'm gonna fucking at least try to punch him in the face or use my batlet to smack him, even though I have no chance of doing that, you know, because he's a douchebag and he's gonna basically cheat his way, you know. He's not going to do an honorable fight, but I want to try to do it anyway because I'm fucking Worf, because I'm a Klingon. And, you know, Klingons work, they don't work always after what's the most logical thing. They work based on honor, you know. They're basically, in a sense, in one way, they're like the space samurai and the space Vikings rolled into one. And these guys, okay, so you had Uhura talk to them. And I don't remember if Uhura could actually speak Klingon. I think she could in the old movies and the old series, because she was the communications, whatever. And, you know, in the series, though, it said, oh, they have, like, translation devices in their head so they can talk with each other normally. But that's why I never understood how they could, at times, talk Klingon or Vulcan or whatever. But whatever, point is that, you know, it started out well, and then this Klingon just looks really weird, okay? He just didn't look... They made him, like, all more almost reptilian-looking. And I'm like, no, then you take the Gorn, you know. And in the Star Trek video game, they even put in the Gorn. Hell, they even had in the movie mention McCoy, where he said, oh, I gave birth to 8 tuplings to a mad Gorn woman. I gave, you know, I helped give birth to 8 tuplings to a Gorn woman. And they're the reptile people from one of the episodes. And I'm like, what the fuck, you know? I know this is the new universe, but the Gorn were barely known. They were not known when before that one episode when there was this godlike creature when at first the Enterprise and the Gorn were fighting against each other. You know, they just met where the Gorn just basically obliterated a base, and then Captain Kirk and Spock and a couple of red shirts went down to fight them, and the Gorn basically took out the red shirts, and you didn't even see them. And it was kind of a cool episode because you didn't even know how they looked like. And Enterprise followed them, and they were in a space combat, and then there was this godlike alien, of course, because they had a lot of these things to kind of like do a lot of things. But fucking, and then you had the epic fight between Kirk, the captain of the Enterprise, and the Gorn captain of the Gorn ship. And it was like, that's the first time when when humans and Gorn met, and I know it's a rebooted universe and shit, but oh, now I gave birth to a Gorn war, and like, the Gorn, why would McCoy be allowed to do that? Like, I want to hear the background of this, you know? It's like, oh, it's just, we're gonna talk about a obscure race for the fans. It's like, I get it, it's this winking to the fans and shit, like how they call that, but you're not doing it right, Paramount. Like, don't fucking suck the cock of J.J. Abrams, because, like, I'm J.J. If Warner would have went with, yeah, J.J. Abrams did a script for Superman called Superman Flyby. Oh my god, it would have been horrible. I'm so glad. I don't care. Man of Steel is gonna be probably 10,000 I know it's gonna be 10,000 times better than Superman Flyby ever would be. You think fucking the Death and Return of Superman, like how Kevin Smith was talking about it, would have been bad, but fucking Superman Flyby. Anyway, that's Star Trek Into Darkness. Let's talk about Iron Man 3. Now, Iron Man 3, I watched Spoonie's video, and I haven't watched the full video because he was just going again on and on about the same thing in many ways. It was about, you know, how, oh, they fucked up the Mandarin and whatever, and like, yeah, sure. I'm not saying it's the perfect movie, and when you compare it to the other Marvel Studios movies, it's not my favorite. It was still very entertaining, though, and I thought it was a good movie. And yes, they did kind of destroy the character of the Mandarin, you know, the classical Mandarin at least. Because again, this is spoiler territory, guys. If you haven't seen the movie, goddamn, watch the movie. You know, fucking, you're not gonna go to movie theaters. I don't know, you know. Figure out your own way, you know, whatever. I'm not going to say anything, but point is, you got Iron Man 3, and basically there's this guy who looks like the Mandarin, but he's not Asian, but he's not really, you know, he apparently is some Middle Eastern terrorist, but he kind of looks like he's British, and he kind of looks like he's dressed like an Asian, like a Chinese guy, like a Chinese feudal warlord, like the Mandarin's supposed to be, but he's kind of a mishmash of everything, and he's like, I will destroy you bad Americans because you are capitalistic. And I'm like, you know, I was kind of like thinking, because I was hoping for the classical Mandarin with the rings, because that's what I grew up with, you know, from the cartoons, from the comic books. It was always shoved in my mind, the Mandarin has all these rings and he can do all these abilities. Then the movie they have, and I had to wait 3 movies long, okay? I mean, the first one you had fucking Iron Man, you know, and he was then captured by these terrorists instead of the, what was it, in the original comic books, it was Korean War guys or something. And, he was, interrogated and shit, and he was basically captured by the 10 Rings group or whatever, and yeah, so the point being is that, you know, he's been just like, there's these 10 Ring guys and they build this up and then they have this character, but it turns out the Mandarin is just a fake for the true puppet master, you know. He's just some washed up actors on coke, and to be fair, it was funny, but it was kind of a kick in the balls, because, you know, Marvel Studios has been always very straight and always trying to keep the characters as they were, but with the Mandarin they have been like, you know, fuck you Mandarin, you know. It was, and yeah, Guy Pearce, who was the guy from the Extermis comic book storyline, they made into the Mandarin. How he has these, but he just had the fire powers like the other experiments, and he had 2 dragon tattoos, and that made him suddenly to the Mandarin. You know, and I'm like, okay, so it's okay if I'm not even gonna touch that. Whatever. point is he was like all, I don't know, like it was in a sense cool, because I can understand, yeah, the Mandarin was a racist stereotype because he was made in a time where that was okay. But I thought, you know, they could have taken the Mandarin character and changed him. You know, they could have still made him a Chinese or Asian character without making him a racist stereotype. You know, they wouldn't have to. I thought they could have just made him like, you know, just like Guy Pearce, make him a industrials guy, but he finds these rings, because technically they weren't magic rings. They were rings of such high technology that they were considered magic in the comic books. So why couldn't it have been just a Chinese guy who has a corporation, and he invests a lot of money in these developments, and let's say Guy Pearce works for him, and Guy Pearce tries to take the power of these rings, but this guy defeats him and takes these rings, and he becomes the real Mandarin. Hell, we could have even had the fake Mandarin there. You know, I don't need the whole feudal Chinese warlord, if that's so offensive. And I guess it is somewhat offensive, but, you know, maybe, why wouldn't he want to dress up? You know, maybe he doesn't want to dress up like that, but, you know, it's not even that it was of Guy Pearce, but because it just had these kind of boring powers, because, you know, Iron Man was fighting all these people with these extremis powers that either where they could blow up, or they could like use these weird fire powers where they could also regenerate, and he had the same kind of powers. And you know, if at least he would have had these 10 rings as a powers, it would have been kind of cool. Now who knows, he might come back like that, but fuck, honestly, I don't think that's gonna happen. This is all of Mandarin will ever see in the live-action Marvel Cinematic Universe. So we got shafted. You got shafted if you wanted to see the classical Mandarin, you know, because he wasn't politically correct enough, to be fair. And I can understand it to a degree, but on the other hand, I'm like, you didn't have to completely shaft the Mandarin. You could have taken the Mandarin and make him, you know, more politically correct. You could have make him like, you know, a Chinese guy or an Asian guy in general that is a who has a corporation, and he is, for example, Guy Pearce works for him, and they could maybe even compete who is the real Mandarin. You know, hell, maybe, you know, the Chinese guy is the Mandarin, but Guy Pearce, you know, uses his extremis power to overcome the Mandarin, then steals the rings, and he becomes the new Mandarin. You know, I would have even accepted that, you know. But completely shafting the complete idea of the Mandarin is kind of a kick in the balls. I understand why they did it, and I still enjoyed the movie. It was a good movie, but it was really, as much as I don't like to agree with everything that Spoonie says, he did have a good point that was very much carried by Robert Downey Jr.'s charisma. But on the other hand, it was still a good Iron Man movie, but I'm not sure if it would have been a good superhero movie in general without Robert Downey Jr. I really don't think it would have been, because it was all over the place in a sense, and it was very much just an action comedy, even to the point where it was just ridiculous, where they were like always like, oh, his suit breaks down and shit. So I don't know, guys. I don't know what you think about that. If you disagree with me, just write to me, and we can have this all settle out. We can have a discussion, either off the air, on the air, how you want. That's all fair, but I'm going to say what I think, you know, what I personally think. And there's probably going to be where I'm wrong, you know, and I might be wrong, or you feel that I'm wrong. And I want you guys to come out and say it, you know. But I feel that fucking Iron Man 3, They could have had a more proper a Mandarin. On the other hand, though, I thought it was a good movie because a good superhero movie still, because I still recognized Iron Man and it was still fun and it was still fit the general vibe, because he also had this whole thing where he had this post-traumatic stress disorder, how he like was trying to deal with all the shock of, you know, there's aliens, there's gods, there's all this shit happening around him, and him flying into another dimension, literally, and being sucked in there, and then somehow coming back, and he doesn't really understands that. And that's why I think it's a little bit the Guardians of the Universe, Guardians of the Galaxy introduction kind of happening, the first step. On the other news is, though, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been greenlit, so I'm excited for that. So I think the second phase of Marvel's movieverse has done well, because Iron Man is the second Marvel Studios movie that has done $1 billion. The other one is Avengers, so they're in a good way, but they have to, you know, keep it up well. You know, the next one is going to be Thor: The Dark World, and then it's going to be Captain America. What is it? Not Dark Angel. Captain America Winter Soldier, something like that, which is gonna, of course, introduce Bucky as the Winter Soldier, and I'm really excited for that. I'm also excited for the new Thor movie, and I'm really excited for Guardians of the Galaxy, the movie, and of course, you got Avengers 2. And then after Avengers 2, we're gonna get Ant-Man, which I'm like, okay, I'm happy for Ant-Man, but does he really need his own movie? Maybe they can convince me. Maybe it's like, you know, if they can convince me. I've seen a picture of the test footage, and they kept his costume very close, at least to one of the versions. And then you got, sorry guys, and you got Phase 3, which apparently is going to have Doctor Strange. And, well, you're going to have Ant-Man, and you're going to have Doctor Strange, and probably another Thor and another Captain America movie. But, I don't know. If it's just like those four, then it would be cool, because I would be excited for Doctor Strange. But I'm thinking it might be also Black Panther, the movie, because they have announced that at excuse me guys, and they've been trying to do that for a while now. So, you know, they have also now Daredevil, and they have Punisher. So the only franchises that they don't have are two huge ones. They don't have Spider-Man for live action series, and I don't have X-Men, which means not just X-Men, anything that who is a mutant, except Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, which they have announced are gonna be in the Avengers 2 movie, which in a sense is really weird, because they can use them, but they cannot use any of their, they cannot call them mutants. They have to basically invent a new origin for them. I know it's not very professional or whatever. They cannot be the children of Magneto. They cannot be a lot of things, you know, and, but I'm excited. I am excited. The new Wolverine movie, I'm like, meh. I'm really like, I get it, Fox. You want to keep the whole X-Men franchise. That's why you'll make another Wolverine movie. And now, ooh, he's going to Japan. Is it going to be R-rated? I hope so, but who knows. They're going to make another X-Men First Class, and it's gonna be based on X-Men: The Future Past, where they and apparently what I heard is they're gonna fix some of the continuity problems and shit like that. I don't know. I'm like, First Class was kind of cool, so I just wish they could kind of figure out some kind of contract where they could at least acknowledge each other in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because they could also gain so much of it. If nothing else, then they could at least, like, just, like, give each other these small nods where they would, like, oh, there's the mansion of Professor Xavier, or something, you know, maybe just even in a newspaper article that Mutant's out, or something like that in the Avengers movie. I mean, technically, there was a deal. There was a deal that that would have happened, too, that where Sony and Disney agreed that, you know, there could have been, in the skyline of New York, there could have been the sorry guys, I'm getting tired. The building for the Osborn Corporation from Amazing Spider-Man in the skyline, which would have been already a continuity acknowledgement, and Sony agreed to this, you know. Now that doesn't mean we're gonna see Spider-Man in the Avengers anytime soon, but it would have been acknowledgement, which would have mean that they would have, you know, at least it would have give the fans that, okay, Spider-Man exists in this universe, he's just not talked about. That's it. And since Spider-Man for a long time didn't work with other teams, at least not on a permanent basis, or for a longer basis, he would work with them for a short period, like, let's do this, basically, this quest, this mission, but that's it, then I have to go my own ways. That's how Spider-Man always used to be. Now he's in the Fantastic Four, or in the Future Foundation, and he's also has been in the Avengers for a long time, so now it's a different thing, but back in the day, that was a huge no-no. Spider-Man, he worked with every fucking Marvel superhero under the comic book, you know, basically, but he would never work with them for a longer period. He would have some that he would work with for he would be friends with, like the Torch, for example, was a good friend of his. He always liked the Fantastic Four. That's why I'm pretty sure it was a great choice to choose him to be added. I mean, it makes much more sense that he's part of the Fantastic Four than the Avengers. On the other hand, the Avengers are, like, in a sense, the equivalent to the Justice League of America and DC. Now, obviously, you could argue that, of course, the Avengers are a government-sponsored group by S.H.I.E.L.D., at least, and the Justice League are a group of such powerful entities that they kind of form their own government, you know, which is a completely, like, the equivalent of S.H.I.E.L.D. Checkmate has nothing to do with the Justice League unless they try to spy on them, and then Wonder Woman comes and breaks one of the guy's necks or something like that. Point is, that's the situation of that. I will just shove in some other news here quick. Video game-wise, apparently the new Xbox is going to be called Xbox One. And I'm like, just meh, the new generation doesn't interest me. I'm really thinking of getting a PlayStation 3. We'll see. Honestly, guys, it's not even an hour yet, but I'm just going to shove in another song. I know it should have been longer, but hell, this is what you're going to get. And I'm going to put in a song, and it's, you know, it's going to be what it is, and I hope you're going to like it. Anyway, guys, the Gaming Beast is back, and he's here to stay for the Death Mug of Doom.